You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
August 10, 2011 marked the 50th anniversary of the first spraying of defoliants by the U.S. military in Vietnam. The next 10 years saw the release of 12 million gallons of Agent Orange contaminated with dioxin, the most toxic small molecule known to science. Scorched Earth, Fred Wilcox's latest book from Seven Stories Press, chronicles the struggles of some of the nearly 3 million Vietnamese who are sick and dying from exposure to Agent Orange and whose children continue to be born with severe birth defects. Mr. Wilcox, an associate professor of writing at Ithaca College, joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Your previous book, Waiting for an Enemy to Die, was about the effects of chemical warfare on American veterans. When did you realize that you would have to travel to Vietnam and write a follow-up book?
Well, actually, many, many years ago. I wanted to go over there right after publishing Waiting for an Army to Die because I felt like that was the missing link that would prove that veterans' illnesses were indeed related to their service in Vietnam. But it just took a very long time to convince anybody that that was a good idea.
So you write in this book, for decades, the United States government appeared to be waiting for Vietnam veterans to die. Now the chemical companies and the government are waiting for the Vietnamese to give up their campaign to secure justice for the victims of chemical warfare. That will never happen. We ignore their suffering at our own peril. Why at our own peril?
Well, because what really is going on in Vietnam, what happened in Vietnam, is all about toxic chemicals. And our air, our food, our water supply here in the United States and other parts of the world are inundated with similar or the same toxic chemicals that are killing the Vietnamese. So there's a cancer epidemic in this country, and I believe it's directly related to poisoning our environment. And so their environment is our environment, and their health is our health.
You've been writing about this issue for decades and were the first to publish a book about the Agent Orange issue. Has the U.S. government resisted dealing with it through both Republican and Democratic administrations?
Oh, absolutely. They resisted it for many, many years. They're still resisting it because it's about big money, and it's about who controls the government and who controls the environment, who controls our world. And it turns out that it's not us, the people. It's not Vietnam veterans. It's not the Vietnamese. It's the chemical companies. It's big corporations, Dow, Monsanto, and the rest of the multinational corporations.
But aren't Dow and Monsanto now in Vietnam?
They have offices in Vietnam, but certainly those offices are not there to help the Vietnamese. They haven't paid one penny of compensation to the Vietnamese, and I don't think they ever will.
Are they the people who really shape the debate, the manufacturers?
Yes.
Or is it the government? Because the United States has opened up relations with Vietnam, and I would think that this is an issue that it's going to have to resolve.
Well, the problem is that in order to resolve it, the United States government has to admit that we engaged for at least 10 years in chemical warfare, that it wasn't an accident. The Vietnamese didn't make us spray the chemicals. They didn't make us kill their trees. They didn't make us poison their food. The United States government and the military did it willfully, did it deliberately. They were attempting to win the war. And so we just, in order to resolve this issue, the first thing that the government officials would have to do is say, we did it. Actually, we did it.
Can you describe the traditional South Vietnamese village way of life?
Well, during the Vietnam War, they live very close together. It's an interesting question because, first of all, this idea that you could spray food supplies that were just the enemy, the Viet Cong or North Vietnamese, and not the people's food supplies. When you go to Vietnam and see how people live, they live very closely. They live very simply. Their rice paddies merge together. Yes, they know whose rice paddy. But you couldn't from the air, you could not distinguish a enemy rice paddy from a good guy's rice paddy. When we sprayed the chemicals there, we just sprayed to kill all of the food, not some of the food.
How soon after the sprayings of Agent Orange did Vietnamese women begin having abnormal pregnancies and births?
Very soon. They started complaining very soon. In the early 60s, a Japanese film crew went over there and filmed some of the women who were testifying about this. They had never seen such horrific birth deformities. They had never seen anything like it, and they didn't know what it was, but they suspected that it had to do with Agent Orange and herbicides.
And what was U.S. government saying?
That it was government, Vietnamese communist propaganda, that the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese were spreading lies and accusing the United States military of poisoning them.
Doesn't the poison eventually disperse itself?
No, it does not. No, in fact.
So we're seeing problems even today?
Well, you know, one of the word tragedy is often overused. You know, I mean, tragedies come and go. There's Katrina, there's floods, there's all sorts of tragedies. But this tragedy has been going on for decades. And it turns out that when you go there and you talk to the Vietnamese people, you find out that they're now seeing the third and fourth and even fifth generation of deformed children. So they don't know when this thing is going to end. Moreover, dioxin is still in places in Vietnam, not everywhere in Vietnam. It's still in the water. It's still in the food supply.
My guest is Fred A. Wilcox, whose latest book is Scorched Earth, Legacies of Chemical Warfare in Vietnam, published by Seven Stories Press. What were scientists saying about these chemicals and their effects on the environment back when Dow and Monsanto first created them?
Well, you know, a lot of people didn't know very much about dioxin then, but Dow chemical scientists did know. They knew as early as 1965, and I'm quoting from a memo that's in Waiting for an Army to Die, that dioxin is, according to them, potentially deadly to human beings. They knew from their studies of mice and rats and other animals that dioxin kills these little creatures very, very quickly. That when their children are born, they're born headless, blind, deformed. And so they knew that dioxin given to animals, research animals, is deadly.
Well, was it absolutely necessary as an ingredient in an herbicide?
Yes, they didn't. They weren't able to make Agent Orange. Agent Orange is just a combination of 2,4-D and 2,4-5-T, two commercial herbicides mixed together and then put in a big barrel, 55-gallon barrel, and painted with an orange stripe. And so no matter how they did, there actually was a process that a German chemical company had figured out that would limit the dioxin very, very, very much. But you see, Dow and Monsanto were interested in profit. They really didn't care about the Vietnamese people, and I don't think they cared about U.S. Veterans either.
Well, the terms get confusing. Dioxin, TCDD, 245T.
Yes, they do. So dioxin was the contaminant in Agent Orange. Okay, so TCDD is the most deadly form of dioxin. There's something like 75 dioxins, maybe possibly more. But the most deadly form of dioxin was in Agent Orange. And it only takes a very, very small, very minute dose of dioxin to kill rhesus monkeys or rats or mice.
What do these companies tell the Department of Defense that 245T was capable of?
Well, that's one of the big questions. It's one of the major questions that goes on and on. The chemical companies, Dow, Monsanto, and others, insist that they told the United States military that Agent Orange contained dioxin, and they explained what dioxin is, was. But I've never found out any evidence that that's true. I don't think they did tell the government that.
Is part of the problem that the EPA has categorized dioxin as a likely human carcinogen, but nothing more?
Well, the EPA can say whatever it wants, but the international scientists, bodies of science, the World Health Organization and other scientists have clearly stated that dioxin is a carcinogen. It's a carcinogenic substance, and I think the world scientific community agrees about that. The only people who don't agree with that are the chemical companies who still deny that Agent Orange harmed human beings and that dioxin is harmful to human beings.
How is dioxin absorbed in the body?
Through the skin. It can be that soldiers in Vietnam drank water containing, they ate food containing dioxin, and then it gets into the fatty tissues and into the blood, and it's stored in the fatty tissues.
It's not flushed away in time?
No one knows for sure how long it might take, but you know, the interesting thing about that is Canadian scientists who have gone to Vietnam in fairly recent, maybe even last year, they still find high levels of dioxin in Vietnamese who live near these hot spots, they call them, in their fatty tissues and sometimes even in their blood and definitely in the food supply. So it is, it stays.
Dioxin has also been called teratogenic, phytotoxic, mutagenic. Can we go over those terms?
Sure. Well, what it means is that if you give a mouse, like a female mouse, a very small dose of dioxin, it will give birth to blind offspring, headless offspring, seriously deformed offspring. If you give a very small dose of dioxin to rhesus monkeys, our nearest living relatives except for the chimpanzees on the evolutionary scale, they die very slowly and they die very painfully. So all of the laboratory evidence shows that female, particularly female animals, given small doses, give birth to horribly deformed offspring.
Well, why can't we just extend those studies to humans? I mean, I realize we can't give humans dioxin, but we know people who were exposed to dioxin, American GIs and people in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Has a study ever been done, a large-scale study ever been done, to determine just what impact it has had on them?
Well, the Vietnamese have done studies. Certainly, they've done a number of studies on the impact of dioxin, Agent Orange, on human beings. But American scientists have not gone to Vietnam and done any studies. And furthermore, no matter how many studies you might do, the chemical companies will still say you can't extrapolate, let's say, from animal research to human research, which is the way we decide if a chemical is toxic or not. We don't round up a bunch of people and inject them with toxic chemicals.
Is the problem just what happens to a woman, or can this also be transmitted through male genetic material?
Well, back in the 60s, there was a scientist in North Vietnam. His name was Dr. Tung. And Dr. Tung had done some serious research into the offspring of men who had gone south from the northern part of Vietnam and then came home and fathered, again, very seriously deformed children. He concluded that these men, something had happened to their sperm, something had happened to them, and that it very well could be mutagenic, the dioxin could be.
And Dr. Tung has also said, in the abominable history of war, with the sole exception of nuclear weapons, never has such an inhumane fate ever before been reserved for the survivors.
Absolutely. And anybody who thinks that isn't true or that's hyperbolic or overstatement should really just go to Vietnam and look around. The Vietnamese are happy to show you. And it's not they're not happy about it, but they'll show you the children. They'll show you the effects of Agent Orange on human beings.
You've included photographs from various places, like the ones from Tu Du Hospital in Saigon, where many preserved stillborn fetuses of mothers who were exposed to Agent Orange are kept. What was that experience like?
That experience was absolutely horrifying. I call that chapter in the book the evidence room. At Tu Du Hospital, first of all, there are many, many children with limbless children, with huge heads, blind children, all Agent Orange children. And then if you go down the hall, they have this large room with shelves, and on the shelves are these great big glass jars, and they're full of what the Vietnamese call monsters. These are fetuses that were born. Vietnamese women were born, and that's their evidence room. This is where they say, look, if you don't believe anything else, if you don't think these children represent the effects of Agent Orange, then take a look at this room and take a look at these bottles full of these horribly deformed fetuses.
How effective was Agent Orange in the war effort in Vietnam?
Well, it was very effective in the sense that GIs tell me, veterans who were there, that they're walking through the jungle and the parrots are screaming, the monkeys are shouting, and after about 3 days, after they spray the Agent Orange, the jungle begins to die and everything dies. The monkeys die, the parrots die, everything in the jungle dies. And it's so effective, actually, that all these years later, 35 to 40 years later, those majestic jungles, triple canopy jungles that were filled with bears and snakes and all sorts of wonderful animals, elephants, are nothing but grass now. Nothing
has
grown back. They have not recovered. And the question is whether they will.
The use of herbicides like Agent Orange fits into a larger shift in U.S. wartime tactics, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's a dangerous shift. It was a very dangerous shift. The United States government at some point realized that we were not going to be able to win this war because the people we called the Viet Cong, and of course the North Vietnamese, they knew the jungles. They knew the countryside. They could come out and fight. They could ambush American troops, and then they could go back in and hide. So they had base camps there. So we made a conscious decision, that is the government, to employ chemical warfare and to destroy those jungles and the mangrove forest and destroy the food supplies of the Vietnamese people. That, to me, is one of the most shocking and frightening aspects of the whole chemical warfare campaign in Vietnam.
My guest is Fred A. Wilcox, whose follow-up to his look at the impact of chemical warfare in Vietnam on Americans is now Scorched Earth, which looks at what's going on in Vietnam. It's published by Seven Stories Press. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Fred A. Wilcox, who's been a veterans advocate, environmental, and also scholar on the Vietnam War for the past 30 years. He is an associate professor of writing at Ithaca College. His latest book is called Scorched Earth, Legacies of Chemical Warfare in Vietnam, published by Seven Stories Press. How could U.S. policymakers act as though the chemicals that they were spraying on the jungles of Vietnam wouldn't end up in the bodies of the people who were living there? And I'm not just talking about the people who were considered the enemy, but also U.S. soldiers and other people who happened to be around, like Koreans and Australians and others.
And New Zealanders, yeah. It's a great question because I've pondered this question for years. How it could be that you could use a chemical that would destroy a triple canopy jungle, kill the animals. Then the Vietnamese are complaining that after these herbicide missions, the old people die, people get nosebleeds, they're sick, their animals die. How could you look at all that and say, well, these chemicals are just designed to kill trees and that's all they're doing? Why wouldn't someone conclude? I don't think anybody should be exposed to these kinds of chemicals. They're just too powerful, you know. And so there's, even if we don't know exactly how they might affect human health, it would be better not to expose people to this kind of chemical.
In your first book, you talked to a veteran who spoke about his impressions of the Vietnamese reaction to herbicides during the war. He said, "We used to play tapes from loudspeakers basically saying that the VC are telling the people that herbicides are making them sick, that the spraying is responsible for their miscarriages and illnesses, and the tapes would say that the VC are lying, they just don't like the sprays because it makes it hard for them to hide, and that the VC are actually poisoning people's water. I was young and gung-ho at the time, so I believed the propaganda."
Right. That was a young soldier who had worked for PSYOPs. You know, that was his job, basically psychological propaganda. And it's an interesting what he said, because he knew, and many veterans I've talked to knew, exactly what Agent Orange was doing, not just to the trees, not just to the forest, but they got sick. They would tell their commander, they would say, "Look, I'm sick." And everybody always said, "Well, it's jungle rot," or, you know, "It's just your exposure to heat," or something like that. It has nothing to do with these toxic chemicals that you're exposed to.
He said, "We heard the Vietnamese complain. They talked about depressions, diarrhea, flus, colds, rashes, spontaneous abortions. But it was a war zone, and we just figured there were a lot of diseases that we had never heard of. Thinking back, I recall being struck by the number of children with cleft palates, and I suffered about the same things over and over again. Screaming pains in my joints, pains in my gut, blood in my urine, my feet going numb. But the hardest thing to deal with was the sudden depressions that came on you. You just wanted to go out in the field and stick a pistol in your mouth and pull the trigger."
Right. And it's one of the things that hasn't been studied enough, if at all. That is the effect of dioxin in the fatty tissues and when it is released, whether it goes into the nervous system and then how that might affect the nervous system. And if some Vietnam veterans who did commit suicide or did commit, say, acts of extreme violence, perhaps it was because the dioxin had been released into their nervous system.
Well, how long was it before American soldiers began to notice symptoms of dioxin?
Oh, right in the field. I mean, again, many veterans that I interviewed for Waiting for an Army to Die told me that they got sick in the field, that they had nosebleeds. They were suffering from the same symptoms that the Vietnamese were. But again, they were told, well, this is just combat stress, or it's just the heat, or it's just jungle rot or whatever. But it has nothing to do with those chemicals that you've been exposed to.
Well, often when we talk about the impact of Vietnam on American soldiers, we talk about PTSD. Can you situate Agent Orange within the larger shift in our culture toward recognizing things like PTSD and the basic difficulties that soldiers face when they try to reenter society?
Yes, I think they're all connected, because basically when Vietnam veterans came home from Vietnam, they got sick really quickly, not just from PTSD, but from Agent Orange. And they went to the Veterans Administration and they started to complain. One veteran I interviewed he was urinating blood. He went to the VA hospital in Syracuse, he complained, and they said, "Oh, you're just putting ketchup in water because you want compensation." So here were these guys who were teenagers when they went off to war, came home, they'd seen the horrors of war, and then they're getting sick, and their liver is damaged, and they're going to the hospitals, and they're being told that they're crazy, and that they're malingering, and that they just want money, and none of those things were true.
A listener writes in to ask about instances where the Vietnamese government has used chemical warfare against its indigenous tribes like the Hmong.
The Vietnamese government, the soldiers, were using Agent Orange and herbicides. And so that's true. I'm sure that they were using the herbicides against the humongous. They were using herbicides as we were. And one of the interesting things, we stopped using Agent Orange, in theory at least, about 1970. But that didn't mean that the South Vietnamese army didn't continue, which I think they did, using Agent Orange. Moreover, you know, I concentrate on Vietnam because the records aren't clear. You know, it's hard to get information. But we were using Agent Orange in Cambodia, most likely Laos, and possibly Thailand and other parts of Southeast Asia.
But we haven't done anything like that in Afghanistan or Iraq.
Oh, yes, we have. So, of course, we have. But we're not hearing about it. We're not going to find out about it until somebody is able to use the Freedom of Information Act and get the information out. Because it took so many years. It took decades, really, of I and other people literally fighting the government, demanding that they stop lying, demanding that they start helping these vets and come out. You know, they would say to veterans, you didn't know where you were. A guy would say, look, I was right there. I was exposed to Agent Orange. I ate the food. And the Veterans Administration said, yeah, but you didn't really know where you were. And he'd say, yes, I did. I was there. I can tell you.
Is part of the problem that cancer takes so long to develop, so it could have actually been caused by something else?
That is part of the problem. It's not absolutely provable that someone's cancer is related to Agent Orange. But here's the
well, are they certain same kinds of cancers?
Many different kinds of cancers, and very similar in Korean vets, Australian vets, New Zealand vets, and other people throughout the world who have been exposed to dioxin and similar chemicals. So the evidence actually is very, very powerful that people exposed to these kind of chemicals are going to get sick, their immune system is going to break down, and they're probably going to get cancer.
So it goes to court, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. My guest is Fred A. Wilcox, who has written a book called Scorched Earth, Legacies of Chemical Warfare in Vietnam. It is photographed by Brendan Wilcox. That's your son?
That's my son. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And it is published by Seven Stories Press. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. The Agent Orange case was the largest product liability lawsuit in the history of the United States. 6,000 veterans sued the chemical companies Dow and Monsanto, and it was settled in 1984. Mm-hmm. A lot of them felt very disappointed. What happened?
The veterans always called it a sellout. They didn't call it a settlement because they hoped to get into court. They didn't want money. Of course, they would like to have money to pay for their medical expenses or for their children who were sick. But what they wanted to do was go to court and actually use themselves as an exhibit. They wanted to say to people here in the United States and the world, this is what happens to human beings when they're exposed to toxic chemicals like dioxin. Take a look at us, and then you will do everything in your power to get these chemicals off the market and out of the environment. That's what they really wanted. So they always felt like they were sold out.
Is anybody manufacturing dioxin today?
Well, you don't really manufacture dioxin, but in the process of manufacturing certain paper products and other things, burning incinerators, plastic, you produce dioxin.
So the veterans case was settled in 1984 for $180 million. The veterans were furious. Did the outcome of that case figure in how the lawyers approached representing Vietnamese victims when they brought their case to federal court in 2004?
Oh, sure. Well, the lawyers bringing the Vietnamese case thought, look, it's 20 years later. We have a mountain of studies that we didn't have then. We have studies from all over the world. We have all the scientific evidence that we need. But the problem was that the same judge that basically tossed out the veterans case in 1984,
Jack Weinstein.
Jack Weinstein sat on the Vietnamese case, and he said 20 years later, there's really still no evidence that Agent Orange dioxin harms human beings.
Well, he also said that the U.S. did not use herbicides in Vietnam with the specific intent to destroy any group. The herbicides were primarily applied to plants in order to protect troops against ambush, not to destroy people. So yeah. Was he suggesting that if people were harmed, that was not the intention, so the government was not liable?
That it was accidental, yeah, so therefore the government is not liable. And the chemical companies weren't liable because the Vietnamese were suing the chemical companies for war crimes. That was their statement, war crimes.
And was that what the chemical companies were arguing as well? We were just doing this As an herbicide?
Oh, the chemical companies are always arguing they were just government contractors, therefore they can't be held accountable. Actually, they were just doing their patriotic duty. They were selling Agent Orange, you know, to the United States military because they wanted to help the United States military prevail in Vietnam. And so why would anybody pick on them? Why would anybody accuse them of war crimes when, in fact, they were just doing their duty?
Well, they've been sued more for an apology, for an admission of guilt than for real money. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't they just say, you know, we did it, we didn't realize it, but we now apologize for all of the terrible effects that it's had?
Well, I think because they know that this issue is not just about Vietnam. As I said earlier on, this issue is about our own environment. This issue is about the cancer epidemic in this country. It's about the extraordinary escalation in the last 20 years of cancer and other illnesses, brain tumors in children. And so we have this horrible epidemic. We have so many people dying here and other parts of the world. And I believe that at some level, the chemical companies know that if they admit anything that they did in Vietnam was wrong, you know, then it's just going to open the floodgates for people all over the world to sue these companies, which I hope it does. I hope someday that happens.
Well, war and suffering have a way of uniting former enemies, in this case, Americans and Vietnamese victims of dioxin poisoning and their families. Have there been any attempts by veterans who were victims of dioxin poisoning to form alliances with Vietnamese soldiers and the civilians who were affected?
Oh, absolutely. There was a great guy, George Mizo. I write about him at Friendship Village. He established a village in Hanoi called Friendship Village. And the Friendship Village is a place where American soldiers, Vietnam soldiers, anybody who fought in the war can come and meet one another and talk about the war and talk about their illnesses and reconcile. George Mizo was a heavy-duty combat veteran who died from Agent Orange exposure, and he wanted to create a place where people could engage in peace rather than war and brotherhood rather than hatred. And it's a beautiful place. I was there, and they take care of the children there, the Agent Orange children there.
And there's some irony in the fact that what he's proving at Friendship Village is that former enemies can ultimately share the same fate.
Well, George Mizo became friends with the general who organized the battle that wiped out George Mizo's entire unit, killed everybody in his unit. George was seriously wounded. He was medevaced, and later on he found out that his unit died. Then he met the general and they became fast friends. They became great friends. They became actually brothers. And so that's an incredible story. I think it's a very beautiful story, what George Mizo did accomplish before he died.
It's also been charged that the Vietnamese government used the Agent Orange issue as a smokescreen to cover up its own shortcomings as a healthcare provider for its people.
Yeah, that's that sort of anti-communist thing that people say, well, the communists are just trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. You know, they're just trying to trick the world population. They're not. When I was in Vietnam with my son, I've been in Vietnam twice doing research on this book. The people that you meet, they're extraordinary people. The doctors, the scientists, the foresters, they're honest, wonderful, caring people. And all they're really trying to do is get some kind of help for the victims of Agent Orange.
A listener asks, in the context of the legal case that was lost by the Vietnamese victims, how do you reconcile the fact that the South Vietnamese also used Agent Orange on their own land?
Well, the South Vietnamese government was trying to prevail in that war just like we were, so they were using any means necessary. You know, it's tragically enough, but in war, both sides will resort to all sorts of terrible things in order to win the war. So, yeah, the South Vietnamese did it, and I can't blame them for that.
Has this whole thing been resolved by the court cases?
No. This whole thing will never be resolved until there's compensation for the Vietnamese people and until the United States government again admits that it engaged in chemical warfare and until Dow, Monsanto, and the other chemical manufacturers who profited from this substance agree to help the people they poisoned.
The latest statistics are that 1 in 5 suicides now are from people who've returned from Afghanistan and Iraq. Mm-hmm. Do we have any sense of what percentage of people who have cancer had served in Vietnam and had come in contact with Agent Orange?
Well, again, there's no statistics. See, the United States government has steadfastly, and unfortunately, American scientists, some of them have done great research. They just haven't done the research that they should have done decades ago. And now the Vietnam veterans are dying. They reach the late 50s and early 60s, and they die.
Are there any chemicals and technologies today that are contaminating our environment? I imagine we're not doing anything like dioxin, but are we doing it in other ways?
There are 80,000 chemicals on the market in the United States. About 4,000 to 7,000 of those chemicals are carcinogenic. So, again, our environment is absolutely inundated with toxic chemicals and carcinogens.
Fred A. Wilcox's latest book is Scorched Earth, Legacies of Chemical Warfare in Vietnam. It's published by Seven Stories Press and has some pretty shocking photographs in it as well. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.